Amen. Amen. Incito means ignite. They have set this place on fire so much so that the AV team has been putting out that fire. And I appreciate the work that the AV team has and continues to do. Chocolate. That's what we're going to start off with today. Isn't that a wonderful word? Chocolate. It just kind of like floats out of the mouth. There are fewer things that I enjoy in life more than chocolate. I'm not talking about chocolate with nuts in it or wafer or nougat. Like, what is nougat anyway, right? I'm not talking about chocolate cookies or chocolate pie or chocolate-y things. I like chocolate. I'm definitely not talking about chocolate with cherries in it. I do not know how these things sell. You bite into it, a cherry syrup squirts across the room. Then you have this two-year-old maraschino cherry rolling around in your mouth. All you wanted was a piece of chocolate. They call those things cordial. Ain't nothing cordial about them. Don't get it twisted. Chocolate-y things are not chocolate. Simple, unadulterated, smooth when it melts in your mouth, chocolate. So, about 35 years ago, when I was in the third grade, thank you, teachers, don't do this, what I'm about to say. In the third grade, my teacher told us to write something down on this white paper butterfly. She said, write something down that you really, really like. I really like chocolate, so I wrote down chocolate. She said, okay, now roll up your butterflies into a cocoon. And let's all hang our cocoon here on this tree in the school hallway. So I did it, obedient as I was. Then, once the cocoons were hanging on the tree, she told us, whatever you wrote down on that paper, you will have to fast from for 40 days. I felt betrayed. She didn't say that was what we were going to do. That was my introduction into the practice of fasting. It's ironic that after that fast, schools have fundraisers, as you know, and the fundraiser after the fast was to sell the world's finest chocolate bars. You know this, right? These bars. And so they sent us home with cases of it to sell. And I ate all 50 of mine. Okay, my parents had to pay for the whole case. Now, I don't think that's a wise practice to send children home with chocolate. Like, what kind of willpower do you think a third grader has? No, I ate it. We're talking about fasting today. Have you ever fasted? What did it look like for you? And why did you do it? That's really important, the why. Why do we fast? Perhaps we needed clarity of mind. We need to figure out, should I take that job in Virginia? Or we needed to know if I should major in this, or if I should take a graduate degree in that. We usually fast because we need clarity of mind for some reason. Maybe some of us fast because we need to know if the one we are dating is the one. So we fast. Whatever the reason is, we usually want to get something out of the process. So in that way, fasting has become about us. But I want to challenge that notion today. And at the end of this message, I am going to make an appeal for each one of you to join me on a church-wide fast for October 13th. Let's start with a word of prayer. Lord, give us childlike faith to understand, to believe, and to live out the simple teachings in your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in Isaiah. Isaiah 58, starting with verse 3. I thank my man for reading it so well. We pick up in verse 3 in the middle of an exchange between God and his children, the Israelites. The Israelites, his children, they're the ones that start here in verse 3. It says, they say, why have we fasted, they say, and you, they're speaking to God, have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? God's children are actually saying, God, why aren't you impressed? We've been very hard on ourselves. Look, we are very holy. Take notice of us. God answers them in verse 5. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ash? Would you call that a fast? Would you call that an acceptable day to the Lord? God's like, you're not fooling me. The only reason you are fasting is to, one, make believe you are holy, and two, make me do something that you want. God's saying, you're not fooling me. He continues, verse 6, is this not the fast I have chosen? He's saying, all that other stuff is not. Now he's about to say, this is what a fast is. Is this not the fast I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burden, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. God is telling his children what he is really after in a fast. He continues in verse 7. Share your bread with the hungry. Give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them. And do not hide from relatives who need your help. That is what a fast is. That last one too, that do not hide from relatives. You know they call and you're like, ooh, I'm busy. Do not hide from relatives that need your help. God's children are oppressed, and God is calling those who are not in Isaiah 58 for liberation. There are bonds of wickedness that are holding our brothers and sisters down, and God is directing us to smash those chains. That's what a fast is, to break those bonds. So it's like a paradigm shift. Fasting isn't so much about abstaining from food. Fasting is about sharing our food with the hungry, with breaking those bonds. Bonds of addiction. Maybe addicted to drugs. Maybe addicted to porn. Definitely addicted to consumerism. Addicted to materialism and self-centeredness. God is telling us to smash all that stuff. Bonds of circumstance. Some of our brothers and sisters are not as fortunate as we are, and our calling is to share our bread with them. There are bonds of subjugation, structures in our society that are systematically oppressing one group over another. It's a little bit easier to hand out a sandwich than to change corrupt markets and public policies that deny some people even the ability to receive bread. Some of us may be thinking, that's too complex. What's this social justice stuff? That's all way too political for us to deal with up in here. Beloved, no matter what it sounds like to you, the Word of God is clear that we are to break bonds of wickedness, that we are to set the oppressed free. Did you know, speaking of politics, did you know that the civil rights movement was about changing corrupt structures and systems? And this quote-unquote political movement, the civil rights, was an act. You know, the president had to sign off on it. It was deeply political, and it was about changing corrupt structures and systems. Well, this movement, it was led by a minister of the gospel. It was Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. marching on those streets. And because of this pastor living out Isaiah 58, the demonic system of segregation that plagued our society was brought down. That system that said white people eat over here, black people eat way back there, it was torn down. That system that was deeply entrenched in all aspects of life, even in the remnant church, that system came crumbling down because of a pastor and his church members having the courage to confront evil and to set the oppressed free. And because of Martin Luther King Jr. and his church members, check this out, because of their courage in living out Isaiah 58, we could gather here as a diverse community. We have board meeting over in the church center in the conference room. It's a little museum of Tacoma Park. And they have a photo of the dedication of this sanctuary. It was packed out. This front row, who hasn't seen someone sit in it since the 1950s, it was full that day. It was people all up it. There was standing room only. Over 1,000 people here, and they all look like me. Not one black or brown face in the remnant church. They dedicated this place to the Lord. We dedicated this place to the Lord while we were steeped in the sin of segregation. How does that even work? Wow. Yes, the remnant church, the one with all the truth, needed a pastor named Martin, a pastor of a Sunday church, to help us get that one right. God is calling us to break the bonds of wickedness and set the oppressed free. Question is, are we going to rise up to that high calling? Or is the Seventh-day Adventist Church not going to have any part of Isaiah 58? We'll embrace and throw our arms around Exodus 20, which talks about the Sabbath, and I lift that one up. But what are we going to do with Isaiah 58? That is clear mandate from the Lord. It's saying, if you're trying to fast, you better set the oppressed people free. It's the chapter that we understand what God considers a true fast. Does this definition of fasting make us uncomfortable? Please don't get me wrong. There have been times in my life that I have been greatly blessed by fasting from food, from abstaining from certain things for a period of 24 or 48 hours. That has enriched my life. So me uplifting Isaiah 58 as God's ideal for fasting because we just read it does not in any way diminish any type of other types of fasting. So it's okay to have both. I just think that this one has been neglected for far too long. We have neglected it, and as a result, we have not prospered as we should. But change is in the air. When I hear what the youth are up to with their Project 100, I know that salvation is around the corner. When I see Salt Ministries reaching out into the community, I know that healing is about to be poured out on this place. When I talk to Marcus Brown and the Lord's Lunch and they're sharing their bread, I look up because God is about to bring forth salvation. Isaiah 58 is great news for those who participate in this type of fasting. Talking about what happens when you set the oppressed free. So God has called us to fast. He has called us to fast in a way that sets the oppressed free. And this is what he promises will happen if we fast, according to Isaiah 58, verse 8 says, "Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Then your healing shall spring forth speedily." Verse 9, "Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and the Lord will say, 'Here I am.'" Amen. Our healing comes when we help heal others. Our restoration comes when we help restore our community. Praise God, because we need healing and we need restoration. Some of us are pulling our hair out on our knees, trying to figure out why we are still the way we are. God is saying this is the answer. If we fast according to this method, he says, then your healing will come speedily. Healing is what we need. Healing from our pain, from our trauma, from our broken dreams. All of us have dreams that have been broken. We need healing. If we don't engage in our community, if we don't break these bonds of wickedness, if we don't share our bread, God is saying healing cannot come. We will search for the Lord. Some, we're searching for him. He's easy to be found. He's in the midst of the community, ministering there. I have been trying to immerse myself in this amazing community ever since I got here. I've been meeting with different leaders and organizational heads. 2 weeks ago, I met the folks from the Progress Place. If you don't know what it is, jot that name down, Progress Place. It's 1.5 miles from this building. It's an organization that helps people experiencing homelessness. I mean, they have figured everything out, even from the terminology. It's not homeless people. They're not homeless. They have a home. They're people experiencing homelessness. You see the differentiation between that? They think they have intention with everything that they do. I was completely blown away when I saw. These were people, non-believers, might I add. These were non-believers who were doing the work of Jesus Christ 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Blown away at the level of professional care and excellence in service that this team puts forward for our less fortunate neighbors, feeding our brothers and sisters with 3 meals a day, every day of the year. Did you know that? If you see someone who's hungry, they need not be hungry within like a 10-mile radius of this place. Tell them about Progress Place. Google it, put it in your phone. Someone asked you, "Hey, I'm hungry." Say, "Brother, I'll do better than just one meal. I'll feed, there's food every day this week." Not only are they providing 3 meals a day, they have free showers. They have free laundry. They have free computers. They have free computer trainings. They have shelter from the cold. They have shelter from when it's too hot outside. They have caseworkers who mingle in with the people who go there to find out what resources they need to take them to the next level. Helping people with their addictions. Helping people find jobs. Helping people train for jobs. Walking with them until they could walk by themselves. I was in awe when I saw all of this. I told the director, although you told me that you are not a Christian, that you don't even believe, you are living as Jesus Christ. What you are doing here and the passion that you have for these, our brothers and sisters, inspires me as a pastor to be a better Christian. I said, thank you for the work that you are doing. I was moved to tears looking at them live out Isaiah 58 every single day. They aren't preaching with words. They are preaching with their lives. They aren't handing out tracts. They are living tracts. They don't even know it. Are we living tracts? Are we living sermons? Isaiah 58 verse 6 says, this is the kind of fast I want for you. Loose the bonds of wickedness. Undo the heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free. And break every yoke. I take courage when I see the progress place and what they are doing. I take courage when I hear of our young people and their ambitious plan, Project 100. That's ambitious. Baptize 100, raise 100K, 100 acts of kindness. I take courage when I talk to Sister Mary Helen to learn about what SALT Ministry is doing in our community. I take courage when I see the passion in Sister Kimberly Wright and how her team has mobilized us to do amazing things in the community. I take courage when I see Sister Sandra Marley initiating an extreme home makeover for a woman's shelter that we could all be a part of. There is this 4-floor, 15-bedroom home in the district, which is a transitional housing facility for single women recovering from mental illness, substance abuse, and homelessness. Essentially, it is a bonds of wickedness loosening facility. Sandra has spearheaded a project that will completely renovate one of these apartments. She has 10 people, 10 volunteers, and she needs 10 more to get behind her and help with this renovation. We are also asking you could get involved by donating $5. Each of us donates $5, we'll be able to raise the $1,200 necessary for the paint, for the furniture, for all the supplies to make this apartment a beautiful space for a daughter of the Most High God who has fallen on rough times. Tell me she doesn't deserve a little TLC just because she's fallen on hard times. There's also this anonymous donor who has pledged to match dollar for dollar up to $500. So consider that as a way to get involved. I take courage when I see God's children rising up to break the bonds and set the oppressed free. I take courage when 4 young people decide that following Jesus and what he taught is worth more to them than anything else. So they leave all to follow him. They have come to be student missionaries for 1 year at Washington Adventist University. Now, I like to surround myself with people who are on fire for the community. And so when I learned about them, I befriended them. And I asked them if they could please come partner with our church to reach out to Tacoma Park. And praise the Lord, they said yes. These missionary students will be working with us for the entire year. So I want to ask them, they could come forward for just a moment so that you know who they are and so that you get to know them, be inspired by them, inspire them, encourage them, and let us both reach the community. They are led by Pastor Tiffany Brown, and I'll let her introduce them and a few words about what they do.
Tiffany Brown, and I'm the director of REACH Center for Urban Evangelism. REACH is an acronym that stands for Restoration, Empowerment, Action, Community, and Hope. And
as I think about what REACH stands for and what your church is doing, I just see that this is like a divine bringing together of what God has commissioned us to do. So I'm excited to introduce these four students to you. Once again, we're on the campus of Washington Adventist University. This is Sharan Alec. She is originally from Alaska, but most recently from Hawaii, so we're excited to have her. Hector Hernandez, who's originally from Puerto Rico, but most recently comes from Ohio. We also have Amina Youngpoon, who is from Alabama, so we're just covering the United States here. Amen. And then we also have Maxwell Brown, who is from Pennsylvania. So these four students have committed their lives to this year to really investing and getting to know who Christ is and learning how they can go forward in their community and learn how to serve the community as Jesus did.
Amen. So let's give them a hand. Yes. Now, this group is a group of movers and shakers, and they were just in Berrien Springs, and now they're going to Massachusetts. They move around a lot as part of their curriculum, spreading the love all throughout the U.S. So our hope is to be with them at least once a month, have them here, and during the week, reaching out into the community. I wanted to introduce them, and I also wanted to have the pastors come up, lay hands on them, so that in this year, they really do the work of the Lord and are filled with the Holy Spirit. So I'll invite our pastors. Y'all could come here right in the center. The pastors are just going to surround you. Come on over. And I've asked Pastor Taylor to have a prayer of dedication over them. While you all bow your heads, we will pray.
Gracious Lord, we are thankful that you invite us to share in your ministry in the world. You could have easily accomplished it all by yourself, but you ask us to help out, to be those instruments, to be human hands, human feet, human hearts that touch the people around us. Lord, I'm thankful for these individuals who stand before you just now. They have, by choice, responding to your call, done something that has inconvenienced them, perhaps made them uncomfortable, but they have responded to your invitation to touch people on behalf of your kingdom, seeking, Lord, to do what you have asked us to do there in Isaiah 58. We're thankful, Lord, for the example of Jesus, who left heaven, came to this earth at great cost to himself, so that your word could become human. And I pray, Lord, that you will bless their efforts to emulate the example of Christ. Lord, I commit them into your keeping. Pray, Lord, that you will use them as they, in very practical ways, seek to make your love real and your kingdom visible. So we commit them to you, Lord, at this time. Pray for your Spirit to be upon them. And Lord, for us who we said some amens as we heard the message, but perhaps we are a little uncomfortable too, We ask, Lord, that you will help us to get over that and to know that the kingdom must be brought through some difficulty and some challenges. And as your word reminds us, your grace is always sufficient. So I pray, Lord, that you will go with us as well, with them, as we seek to live out the reality of your kingdom, which will then, Lord, allow us to proclaim more clearly and with credibility Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. This we pray in his name. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Let's give him one more round of applause. We have these missionaries, we have our youth with Project 100, we have Mary Helen with SALT, we have the Lord's Lunch, we have other things, and we have Sister Kimberly Wright and her team with Service Sabbaths, making a way for all of us to serve our community. Our next Service Sabbath is going to be on October 13. What day did I say? And we are going to shake things up a little bit that day. First, it will not be business as usual. We will have one service and it will be condensed. It will be abbreviated because we'll be having service activities before that event. After, you could come to that abbreviated service, or you could come to that abbreviated service and then go to your service event. We will go out to loose the bonds of wickedness and to set the oppressed free. If you have your phone with you, Incito fry the AV system with their fire. So I need you to take out your phones and write this link down, www.thetpchurch.org/service-sabbath-sign-up. thetpchurch.org/service-sabbath-sign-up. If you don't have your phone, you can sign up right away once I explain what we're about to do. If you don't have a phone, we will have Sister Kimberly and Sister Nicole E. Banks, who have laptops or iPads, and they could sign you up right at the doors before you leave. Sign up for one of these events. We're going to ask you to put your name, email, phone number, and then select at least two items where you would be willing to serve. So the thing is, some of these service options, so it's a day where we have like a dozen service options for you to go out into the community. And you pick your top two. So once the first one fills up, maybe a service option only needs 20 volunteers. Well, if you pick a second one and you're like the 30th person that signed up for the first one, we'll put you in your second. So here are some of the options that you could sign up for. There is this organization called So Others May Eat. So Others May Eat. It's a nonprofit that deals with poverty in D.C. If you choose this service option, you'll need to show up at 6:30 a.m. That's for more for like the first service folks, those early risers. Some of us are still on our like third dream of the evening that time. So the early risers, we have an option. We got you covered, 6:30 a.m. You will go down, serve breakfast. We need 10 volunteers for that one. There's Food with Friends. This is an organization that provides meals for those who are struggling as well. But instead of people coming to this one site, we give you the meals and you deliver them because these clients have a difficult time getting out of their home. So they need the meal to come to them. So there's that option. That one starts at 9. There's home visitation. we have sick and shut in, not only in our church, but in our neighborhood. And so if you wanted to go visit with someone, with spoken word, with song, with prayer, you minister to them, you sit with them for 40, 50 minutes and bless their lives, you could sign up for that. There's this organization called A Wider Circle, an organization that deals with furniture and equipping people who are coming out of shelters or transitionary housing. They don't have too much funds to purchase furniture, so they are given furniture. And so we need volunteers to go to A Wider Circle and help organize that space. There is Shepherd's Table. Remember I was telling you about Progress Place and all those different things that they do with the three square meals? Well, Shepherd's Table is in Progress Place. It's the first floor. They have four floors of service that they do. The first floor is the cafeteria where they serve breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And so Shepherd's Table, we're going to have a couple of teams go there, set up the cafeteria, serve the food, and then help clean up. So we need people for that. We have our very own Adventist Community Services. I met with the director, Ken Flemmer, and he is doing great things. He needs help because winter time is coming. He has a lot of summer inventory that he has to clear out to make room for the winter donations, because when it's cold outside, people need clothes. Adventist Community Services, I don't know if you know this, they provide clothes at no cost for people who need them. They just need a few volunteers to help them organize that. Finally, there are other options on there. So if you go to that link, thetpchurch.org/service-sabbath-signup. If you go to that link, you could sign up for at least two of these events. You'll only go to one on that service Sabbath. Finally, there is the Extreme Home Makeover at the women's shelter led out by Sister Sandra Marley. We need 10 volunteers. We already have 10, so we need 20 in total. But we have 10 signed up. We need 10 more. These volunteers are going to help paint, help clean, help build furniture, help clean up the place, help make this just a beautiful gift to this one daughter of God. We also need $1,200 for the furniture, for the paint, etc., etc. And you could kindly consider donating $5 to go toward that. Again, we have a dollar-for-dollar match by an anonymous donor for the first $500. That's pretty awesome. Sign up for one of these. Sign up for a second as a backup. And then a team leader for this event will contact you and give you all the details you need to know. The plan is to come dressed appropriately for whatever service activity you're going to be doing. So if you're going to be visiting someone, visiting a sick or shut-in, maybe you're going to come dressed the way you are today. But if you're painting or help sorting furniture, you know, wearing a shirt and tie isn't going to be that useful. So that means there are probably going to be jeans up in this sanctuary. Lord have mercy. Maybe even a jean with a rip at the knee. Who knows? Anything goes that day when we're serving, right? And we're going to come here, abbreviated worship, and it's going to be powerful. You will not want to miss that event. Tacoma Park. The Lord is doing something in our midst. I know you could feel it. It's in the air. And the plan is for you to be a part of that. For you to get caught up in this fire that we are trying to light. So that healing can come. We need to break the bonds of wickedness. We need to set the oppressed free. We need to break every yoke so that our healing comes. God knows that we are the broken ones. And the way to heal us is to help heal others. We're not going out in some sort of superiority complex. We are going out with the understanding that I am broken, and the reason I am going to community is so that I can be healed. That is what we are about. It is going to be a day of prayer and fasting. Not like you have fasted before, perhaps. October 13 is going to be a day of fasting according to Isaiah 58. So although we will be fasting on October 13, come to church, have eaten a huge breakfast. Okay? Is that all right? We don't want you to be halfway in your service activity and get all Joe Pesci because you're hungry. We want y'all to be focused on mission and service. So come with a huge breakfast in your stomach and you will still be fasting according to Isaiah 58. We are going to be sharing our bread. We are going to be loosening the bonds of wickedness. Fasting from chocolate worked for me in the third grade. It got me straight. Now that I am adult, God is calling me to a higher fast. Join us, please. Amen.